I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi in red. Talking the rapids and turning heads. With questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Colorado Rapids fans. This is Holding the Sad Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Tuesday, October 29th, 2024. Happy belated Halloween weekend to all who were celebrating. The Rapids went into Dignity Health Sports Park on Saturday and lost both their dignity and their health. Oh, and the final score just so happened to be 5-0 LA Galaxy. This now means that they have a must-win game on Friday at the Richard. Otherwise, the Colorado Rapids 2024 season will be over. Joining me now, veteran Allegheny County poll worker, Rabbi Mark Goodman.
Wow, I love that you remember that. I hope you don't remember how terrible the experience was of working a poll. But yeah, not that kind of poll, the actual poll. So
I remember.
I don't strip. I keep all my clothes on for podcasts.
I remember the specifics of it, Mark. This either would have been a text chain between you and me, or maybe we turned this into a banter topic where you had commented.
I hope not.
You were working like at the start of the polls and there were a bunch of people in line and there was a delay and you had to be the person to deliver the message. And I made a tongue-in-cheek joke about how you were in a rough situation, Mark, because one apologetic Jew versus an angry mob historically doesn't end well.
Well done, sir. Nicely played. Very much love it. Yes. We're back. I've got my ballot. I mailed my ballot in. I got to mail my wife's ballot in tomorrow. We're doing good. But Matt, way to start off the show on a sad note.
Go vote, listeners. I submitted my ballot at the ballot box or whatever. So I have to assume if you're for the vast majority of Colorado residents, you've had your ballot in arrived in the mail several calendar days ago. So obviously I think we're past the point, at least for most people in Denver County, Mark, to where you could mail that in. But there's a bunch of the boxes, all of the links and everything. Go vote. One absolute power that you have in this country is your voice and your ballot as far as participating in our in the democratic process for this year. Representative democracy, representative constitutional republic, I think is the word. And so go do that, make educated decisions. Mark, I know you're voting in Pennsylvania, so you don't know this. We have a lot of local measures to look at and everything. It's like four pages. I spent like 2.5 hours on Saturday after the baseball game, Rabbi, just filling out, finishing up the rest of that ballot in order to drop it off today. So yeah,
good.
If you haven't voted by the time you listen to this podcast, like absolutely go do that, or at least, you know, make plans that you have for Tuesday if you're deciding that you're voting IRL on election day.
I have a feeling, by the way, our listeners are high engagement voters, so-called high engagement voters, people who, because we carve out a market of podcast listeners. You know, you are the elite SEAL team strike force of Colorado Rapids fans. You people want to understand, you want to think about the team, you want to think about the offseason, you want to think about Moneyball, you want to think about roster building, you want to think about, you know, the technical staff, you want to think about formations, you want to think about tactics. Like that's the deep dive. And I think that kind of person typically kind of wants to be understanding and engaged in all things. So, you know, I love that Matt is telling Yins, y'all, all y'all out there to go and vote. But I have a feeling that, you know, almost all of you have voted. And if you haven't voted, you're just getting another kick in the pants from us to turn it in tomorrow. And not wait another 3 days and cut it close. So go out and vote.
Okay, Mark, let's talk about the Colorado Rapids 5-0 loss.
Do we have to? Can't I just continue to drink my Dos Equis in peace and quiet and think about what a great season this was up till the playoffs?
Mark, this is a Rapids podcast, and you and I, if nothing else, are completionists. So, Mark, remember that time it was the first ever episode of the podcast, and like we did in detail, like the entire first year of the Anthony Hudson in quartiles, and talked about it as if it mattered.
I am
probably doing that on Monday.
I am a completionist. I did a whole deep dive into every transfer that that Porik Smith was ever responsible for the first three seasons of his career, like analyzing every single trade and every move, whether it was good or bad, how we should think about it. Like, and it was a 3-part series in which it was like probably a total of like 9,000 words. So, you know, we are dumb and complete, if nothing else.
So, listeners, this past Saturday, the Colorado Rapids went to Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California, and they lost 5-0 in the first leg of the best-of-three series in the round of 16 against the LA Galaxy. The big news that we got prior to the game, Mark, that despite Cole Bassett being listed as available or not listed at all on the availability report, Georgi Mihailovic was listed as out, I believe, or was he questionable? I'm pretty sure he was out. Let me scroll through. He was listed as out. Bassett and Stefan and Cabral were not listed in the availability report, so presumably they were available. And then we got word, Mark, that I should say DNVR was on this first, as Mitchell Carroll was in person for the game. Cole Bassett was out. He suffered a minor setback on the Friday after the availability report or the availability report came out. He suffered a little bit of a setback, and then he was reevaluated the day of the match, the morning of, and then thus deemed was not match fit. So he was not in the squad, Mark, and that threw a little bit of a spanner into the works for Chris Armas and the Colorado Rapids. But Kevin Cabral was able to start at his right wing position in a 4-2-3-1. The rest of the lineup was relatively self-explanatory. Omir Fernandez was in the 10. I should point out, Mark, that Reggie Cannon and Cole and Keegan Rosenberry were the fullbacks, but it was Reggie on the right and Keegan on the left for most of the game. I noticed that a couple of minutes into the match. I do not remember offhand, and I feel like I would have tweeted it had I noticed it. I did not notice a point at which either of them switched at all. So I think it was Reggie on the right for all of the game and Keegan on the left, slightly out of position for all of the game. Mark, I don't know that it's useful for us to go through like all of the nuances of like what happened in the game. The Rapids started out, and I thought pressing-wise were good, but were very much the second team in it, in that the Galaxy had most of the ball and were getting most of the chances, but the Rapids were stymieing them, and it was just a matter of time before the Rapids could use their pressing to not just make the Galaxy uncomfortable, but win the ball and do stuff in transition. Spoiler alert, they did not do stuff in transition. And kind of a goal, not against the run of play, Mark, but at least it didn't match where the narrative was of the game so far. 32nd minute, Dejan Jovalich with a pinpoint header in the 32nd minute, going marking against Reggie Cannon. Would have been a soft foul, I think, Mark, for me, but, you know, probably wasn't. I'm not surprised that it wasn't given. I have seen actions like that in the box, goal or not, that have been called fouls in MLS. In any case, it was 1-0 LA Galaxy. If the Rapids get to halftime at 0-0, Mark, I think they've probably got a puncher's chance, or at least it's a different situation to feel in, certainly. But certainly once that happens, I think LA Galaxy just get comfortable and go in their position of being a little bit more careful with the ball and then trying to do stuff in transition. James Nelson with an absolute banger in the 52nd minute with the Rapids defense shifted over to one side. This was after two really good chances in the opening 2 minutes for the LA Galaxy. The Rapids did not start the second half good in this game. So, you know, stop me if you've heard it before that the Rapids have a slow start to the second half and then end up losing a game on the road this season. Ricky Pooj scores 2 minutes later in transition. And I think at that point, Mark, heads drop. You know, you saw Reggie Cannon got into a little bit with Paintsil throughout the game. He had a little bit of a tussle on a foul that he earned that a kick out maybe could have been given as a really soft red, Mark. You had Jonathan Lewis showing some frustration. Rafael Navajo, I thought, got a bit of a retaliatory yellow card in this game as well. I almost don't want to talk about the fourth and the fifth goal, Mark, because once it was 3-0, it was over. And I think clearly the Rapids were in their own head and emotionally frustrated to where those goals were effectively garbage time. The Galaxy were playing with their food, and it was just a matter of time and also how many more goals were they going to stack on. For the sake of completeness, Dejan Jovalik got his brace in the 75th minute. off of a broken play in transition. And then Ricky Pooj scored into the 87th minute, set up by Gabriel Peck. Peck could have had a goal on a breakaway. Pooj hit the crossbar in one and on another sequence as well. Listeners, it very easily could have been 6-7-0, 8-0, I suppose, would have been possible. I don't know that that would have been likely. So that's what happened, Mark. The Rapids did get a shot attempt. It was in the 80th minute. It came from Connor Ronan outside the box. Mark, do you want to guess what the XG on that was and what the XG battle ended up being at the end of the 90?
Oh, I think I know the XG battle. I think it was 2.97, at least the one that I looked at. I think it was 2.97 to what, like 0.06 or something ridiculously small.
I'm not sure what you have. We've got different sources here, Mark, so maybe the algorithm between...
I'm just guessing. I'm trying to remember, but it was low. It was bad. It was not close.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I have... It was 2.66, so the Galaxy should have scored at least two goals, and in some cases scored a third. They ended up with five. And the one chance for the Rapids for Connor Ronan had a 0.01. So the Rapids had a 1% chance of scoring a goal in this game.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, Rabbi's choice. That where do you want to start, Mark? Rabbi, do you just want to list off, you know, the
I'll do good thing and bad thing really quick.
Okay.
So there was a good thing, which I thought Connor Ronan had a good game. I thought he was okay. You know, I mean, I think they were just asking too much of this team. So bad thing was I feel like they didn't quite know how to go into this game. If you're going to go into the opposing stadium and defend for your life and try and scratch out a 0-0 draw and go to PKs or a 1-1 draw and, you know, strike on the counter, the way you got to do that is you've got to absolutely defend with 10 men and you've got to defend fairly deep. And the Rapids actually kind of defended with 8 men. And they set up kind of a mid-low block, right? They were conceding the Galaxy basically up to the center line and then engaging them when they crossed the center line. But they were also conceding a bit on the wings. And one of the things that was interesting of that was, like, you know, Reggie Cannon was getting into it with Paintsil in the beginning. There was a lot of scrapping. It got physical. It was a little bit choppy and ugly. On both cases, they were fighters. It was appreciated, but it was a little dirty. But meanwhile, the only outlet the Rapids were kind of dealing with was Kevin Cabral. They were basically like, oh, we're going to send up Kevin Cabral. We're going to launch balls at him and hopefully things will fall to him in the first half. And that meant that he wasn't really fully defending. And neither was, to be fair, like, Omer Fernandez was like semi-engaged in the defending, and Rafa Navajo was also kind of semi-engaged. And that's not exactly how I would have done it. I would have had Cabral defending harder in straight lines and much more kind of like very tight, you know, making it very difficult to get through. And the LA Galaxy did not have a hard time beating their way through that press in the first half. So the Rapids were kind of defending for their lives with 8 players. And the Galaxy were like, yeah, whatever, man. We're just coming through anyways. And so it was kind of sloppy and mediocre. Ronan was a solid defender. Larraz was a solid defender. But Larraz was basically playing the same role that Cole Bassett normally does, which is the go everywhere, be everything guy. Be there, you know, make the run to get back and clog things up in defense, but also kind of, you know, spread the field on the attack too. And that's really not Ollie Larraz's jam. That's not what he does. So, you know, we were really like loping long balls up to Johnny Lewis and Rafa Navajo and hoping they could make magic by themselves. And that's also not the ethos of this team over the last couple of months. They're kind of a triangulate, you know, ping, pang, bing, bang, you know, move up the field with 3 or 4 passes and 2 or 3 players. You know, we don't really do the give it to a guy on an island and hope he does something kind of thing, or run down the wing, whip in a cross and hit him, hit a Benteke in the box for the header, kind of like 2-man thing. So I didn't like I'm going to be tough on Chris Armas a little bit. I didn't like the approach that Chris Armas used in this match, or I didn't think it worked and it wasn't going to work. And then ultimately it didn't work. And so we got down basically, you know, by the time we were down 2-0, this was the approach we were using. It wasn't working. And at that point, the game was already over, and they had, you know, 39 more minutes left to play. So it's not great. I hope that they reevaluate and attempt to make a different run at this team in the next game.
I'll disagree a little with you, Mark, or I'll say yes and in terms of your criticisms of Chris Armas and the approach. I liked the, you know, you knew you weren't going to have a whole lot of the ball, and that's something that the Rapids were trying to get better on, or at least the in the road games where they've been successful against really good teams this year, Mark. It's been ones where they've had a little bit of a defensive, more counterattacky approach to that as well. And so I liked the energy and the way in which the team was pressing in the opening 30 minutes. Basically, you know, I liked the defensive approach in the 30th minute mark until there was a corner kick, and then Dejan Jovalik beats Reggie Cannon to the ball and then puts it the one place that Zach Steffen's not going to be able to get to it, given the level of pace that he put it on. Perfectly placed bottom right hand corner from Dejan's perspective. And then at that point, okay, Galaxy are up 1-0, Rapids have to come out of their shell, and then at that point you're playing into the hands. So I just need, I think given the horses that he had, Mark, you know, no Cole Bassett, no Georgi Mihailovic, no Moise Bumbito. I looked at this the other day, yeah. Mark. None of the three games the Rapids played this year had Moise Bumbito on the team. That obviously, that kind of affirms that they don't have a center back who's able to deal with what the Galaxy do on the counterattack. Obviously, right. That's not helping them now because they got rid of Moise Bumbito. But so to that point, given that Moise was so critical in the first half of the season in covering that, that's something that Lawless does okay of. That's not something he's great at. I didn't think Andreas Maxu was particularly good in these games, Mark, either as well. These last two games really getting dunked on. He was most at fault for the two header goals that Austin would have scored to come back and win that game on decision day. And then I think certainly he was the one who was the most shifting back and forth, unable to deal with what the Galaxy were doing in the counterattack. I thought he got, you know, the basketball term would be him getting posterized or him getting his ankles broken on that second goal. So I didn't mind the approach that Chris had to this game. I think was the best that he could have, given that on match day, you knew Cole Bassett wasn't available and you knew probably a couple of days in advance that Georgi wasn't going to be available. This is the way you could have success, given that without those guys, you're not able to do stuff as easily in transition, especially with Kevin Cabral, to your point, helped out with that significantly, but Kevin's just coming back, still building on his confidence, still building on his fitness. He wasn't going to be able to do that for 90 minutes, let alone for 60 minutes. So that wasn't a viable process as well. But to that point, Mark, you know, Omer Fernandez has not been great in either of these two games in the number 10 position. He is clearly not as good as Georgi Mihailovic or Cole Bassett would be in that position. There was a second point that I had, or no, it was so the to the point, Mark, about the Rapids have now lost all three games that they've played against the LA Galaxy, the 3-2 in the regular season, the 3-1 on the second to last home game of the regular season, and then now 5-0. Cole Bassett was missing for one of those two. Georgi Mihailovic was missing for the other one. And then Moise Bumbito was gone for all three. And so the Rapids were somewhat competitive in those two regular season games, Mark, in part because of what one of Georgi or Cole were bringing. We've now seen very clearly without their best midfielder, their best attacker in Georgi Mihailovic, and I would argue their most important player in Cole Bassett, not having either of those, the Rapids are non-competitive against the LA Galaxy, and they can come out here and have a good structure to stymie them a little bit. They're not creating anything going forward, and it's just a matter of when the LA Galaxy score their first goal, which then allows the Galaxy to go back into their default, here's what we're good at, invite the Rapids forward. The Rapids have to go forward to try and get something, Mark. They had to, you know, they were down 2-0 in order to make anything of the game. They had to at least get to 2-2 in order to force penalties, and then you're just playing into the Galaxy's hand. And at this point, Mark, like, Ricky Pooj is a best 11 player in this league, and he's you know, he's a lion playing with his food at this point. And in that regard, Mark, what was so deflating for me, or just so unfortunate about this one, the two losses at home to end the season, Mark, I'll say less the Austin one, because the Austin game was a little bit unknown because they had an interim head coach. We didn't know what the roster was going to be like. Were they just going to play a bunch of the kids, and what was that going to be like? But the 3-1 loss to LA Galaxy, and then the regular season home finale 1-0 loss to Seattle, were the most like the Robin Fraser era, or the end of it, as I felt all year, in terms of, I know exactly how the Rapids are going to try to approach it. I know what their problems are going to be. I know they're playing a more talented, more veteran savvy, more successful team from a postseason standpoint. LA Galaxy, with all of their money and their killer P's, Paintsil, Puig, Pooch, and Gabriel Peck. And we know what the Sounders are under Brian Smetzer. And the Rapids were going to come out, try and possess the ball. They were going to make mistakes in possession, get punished on the counterattack, and ultimately not be able to cash in on all of the low quality but high volume chances that they were going to get. And to couple that off, Mark, with the probably the most Robin Fraser like press conference that Chris Armas would have had on October 2nd with the LA Galaxy, highlighted that for me. And this was the most, I would argue, I texted Braden Nurse for the Denver Post about this after post game as well, Mark, and he was on the call and he agreed with me. That's the most defeated that Chris Armas has been. Chris Armas is a positive individual. For those of you who did not know that, should be obvious to you by now. And so even when the games have been bad, Mark, he has leaned on the positives, or what, at the very least, the positives of this is a mistake in a 34-game regular season that we can learn from that will put us in a good position come the postseason when we actually need to win and do stuff. And that was even the disposition that he had during the post-game availability for that 4-0 loss in the semifinal to LAFC. There's no positive. There's no, hey, we'll get them next time. We'll learn from it. We'll get better in this one, Mark, because that loss led to a must-win game, and it was their worst loss of the season. I should point out as well, Mark, the Colorado Rapids had a 4-0 loss at the Rose Bowl to the LA Galaxy in a previous iteration of the MLS Cup playoffs. Jason Maxwell had the year on that as well. Mark, I don't think there's any question. There's no question, worst of all, this is the worst loss in terms of scoreline for the Rapids in their playoffs history. I don't think there's any question, Mark, unless there's something from the 90s that I'm missing, that like just them getting blown out in a game that forces now a must win. Like that was the worst performance or the worst loss in playoff history. And so to have that on top of having a bunch of injuries against a team you played for the third time, with you making the mistakes that you've made all year, that when you've lost and when you've lost badly, it's been not sharp with the ball, non-competitive in the attacking third, and eventually you just concede a goal, the opponent sits back and takes you apart counterattack, and then it's a positive feedback loop of you can't possess the ball, you can't attack, the opponent comes after you, and it snowballs.
I think, and I've said something to this effect before, I think you kind of touched on this, but like, the LA Galaxy are a force of nature. They've been fantastic all year. I would have loved to have seen a Colorado Rapids series, a three-game series, where Mihailovic and Cole Bassett, and maybe even Moise Bombito, are healthy and on this team, because that would have been a really fun series, and it would have been very close. The two teams would have matched up really nicely. There would have been it would have gone, you know, it would have been like 3-2 or 2-1 or 4-3. You know, there would have been, you know, MLS's Twitter and socials would have had all the cliches. They'd post scenes and they'd say, like, you know, all sorts of, like, you know, memeable kind of like, hey, maybe with this catch fire kind of like lingo and terminology. And instead, we just get the sharp end of the whipping stick. And so that's just a thing I you made me think of, Matt, which is like, it's a shame we're not seeing the full weight of this series the proper way it is, you know, like, because this, I feel sad that potentially Galaxy fans will look at the rest of the league, they'll look at us and see, oh, the Western Conference, just they're not up to our snuff, like, we're just going to roll over everybody, like, that they're going to be like, you know, fart sniffing, you know, West Coast elites, as opposed to what I think is legit, which is that they're gonna see that not this round, but the next round, that it's gonna be more of a challenge for them. And to that end, by the way, like, the Portland Timbers getting absolutely shellacked by the Whitecaps, you know, is part of that too. It was also 5-0, as Matt is kind of mouthing to me, and that's it's making this series and this setup, like, not ideal. It's definitely pointing out that the quality in the league at the top and at the middle isn't quite there. But that being said, like, Vancouver with this, you know, they got that big win in a wild card. So they're supposed to be nearly the equivalent. But I don't know. I mean, like, for me, this, we, Matt and I already talked about how we don't love the three game series format. I think this first shellacking is evidence of that. I just want to add one more thing, Matt, which we didn't really talk about last time, which is, boy, the time of that game was just like, you know, starting it at 11 o'clock at night on the East Coast. You know, was it 8 o'clock start on the West Coast and 9 o'clock in Colorado? Like, who is that for? Like, why are they doing that? Why? I know that traffic in LA in the evening is really terrible and they needed to maximize that. But like, that is just really killer, you know?
Also, with no other, it's not like there was a big game in the central time zone, Mark, and they didn't want to have any overlap on 360. That was the only MLS Cup playoff
game
that was on the Saturday.
That's right. That's nuts. Right. I said, like, getting home from work, and I'm like, wait a second. The game was on Saturday. Yeah, this schedule hasn't made a lot of sense to me, and I don't quite understand it. Maybe they were worried about going up against the baseball game, but I don't think that that's... I think a lot of Americans are used to, you know, dual boxing and quad boxing. I mean, every American at this point has two screens or three screens. They spend all day working on the medium-sized screen while taking lunch breaks and staring at the small screen so they can lie on their couch when they get home, drink a beer, and watch their large screen, right? Like, that's how we are. You can watch three sporting events and be a very average middle-class American. You don't even have to be rich to afford multiple screens. So
I think, Mark,
you have to be rich to afford healthcare in America, but you could have four streaming services and watch four different sporting events, no problem.
I think we figured out what half of the celebrities in that front row at Dodger Stadium were looking at with their screen, Mark. Mark, I don't know if you've stayed up to watch the baseball, but there was, I'm not going to speak about the politics of this, but there was a lady in the front row of one of the World Series games at Chavez Ravine who was wearing a big red Make America Great Again hat. And so one of the not political discourses I saw on the internet that people were talking about is how much she was looking at her screen. So she did pay attention to the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam. So this had to have been game one, Mark. But she was only half paying attention to the Blake Treinen outing when he came out of the bullpen. For those of you who are deep into baseball Reddit, you will see the significance of someone wearing a MAGA hat not paying attention to Blake Treinen coming out and being a relief pitcher. That's enough baseball talk for this right now, though, Mark. One thing that I do want to say, Rabbi, I will amend my take that we do not like the best of three series and the clear money grab component of it. If for nothing else, that the best of three mark then makes it the actual result of the game and not the aggregate score. Technically, listeners, this Friday at Dick's Morning It's Park, the Colorado Rapids could be dominated in a nil-nil scoreline and Zach Steffen could save one penalty and the Rapids would technically win the game. If nothing else, Mark, the Rapids just need a win in 90 minutes or a win in penalties. They do not need to win this game by an aggregate score of 5 in order to force the third leg. And so in that regard, I am officially now a best of three truther. Forget the two-leg series simply because it's to the minute advantage of ye here Colorado Rapids Soccer Club. Mark, this coming Friday, it'll be Friday Night Lights at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. This will be Friday, November 1st. It's Diwali, Mark. It's the day after Halloween, so I guess going into Halloween weekend. I think Halloween weekend was last week for most people, though, Rabbi. And then going into Daylight Savings Day, we don't need to talk a lot about the...
It's like a Dia de los Muertos, though, because that Dia de los Muertos is usually celebrated on November 1st or the first Sunday afterwards. So it's spooky season all week long.
Yeah. The one maybe Galaxy roster thing to kind of consider here, Mark, is that Marco Royce was on the bench for this game and then kind of came on after. Let me see when Marco Royce subbed in. Marco came on in the 68th minute, so it was 3-0 at that point. Mark, I have to think that the Galaxy are probably going to stick with the same formation, not necessarily because Marco Royce isn't better than Marky Delgado or Diego Fagundes or the other midfielders that they have, but I have to assume that Greg Vanney is going to lean even more into the Galaxy being open to let the Rapids have the ball and then play in transition. And so that'll sit better for them to start with the two D-mids and then Pooj in front of them and then bring on Marco Royce when the game's more opening up, either to see the game out or at the very least make it competitive or get back in the game depending on the game state as well. Mark, what did you make of how the Galaxy played and whether or not it was any different or similar from what we saw and any roster considerations from a G's standpoint?
I mean, you really want to keep someone in front of Ricky Pooj. There was he had a couple of open runs kind of through the midfield because somehow he got behind. There was a high up the field confrontation by either Connor Ronan or Ollie LaRaz. And if he would beat that guy, then he gets 40 yards of daylight and a puff of smoke. And that is really dangerous. I mean, he is like a younger, faster Messi on the break. He has eyes in the back of the head. He's not quite as good at threading that ball through traffic perfectly, but he's really great at it. I think the other thing that's really simple is the Colorado Rapids are going to need to create more threat against the LA Galaxy to keep them honest, which is kind of the opposite of what I said at the beginning, which was that the Rapids are going to want to defend for their lives to get out of Dignity, and they didn't, and so they got shellacked. And so in this game, I think they're going to need to adjust. It's a little bit dangerous to say you need to open up, you need to open on the front foot, you need to play them 50-50 straight up and not play defensive. But I really do think that's probably the way they want to go. You know, go down swinging is what I'm saying. Like, if they bunker and counter, like, they're just kind of like prolonging the inevitable defeat. So my advice would be, open up on the front foot, maybe do a little bit of what they did a lot in the early end of the season and started to come out of later, which is a lot of high pressing early. I think the book on playing at altitude is moderately, you know, press early, then conserve energy, hold on till the 75th, and then throw everything but the kitchen sink at them. And that would be a perfectly acceptable approach. My idea might be more like throw the kitchen sink at them for 30 and really, really try and get that first goal, and then play them straight up the rest of the way. You know, come out of the press, or press selectively from then on that. But, you know, end of the season, expecting the Colorado Rapids to come in and press like they're fresh and healthy and ready to go, you know, I don't know. I mean, the other piece I would say is do your best Kirk Gibson impersonation for Cole Bassett. You know, get the trainers out there, give him the magic mind, you know, tape him up, give him the magic spray, give him the magic whatever you need to get him out on the field. You know, just tell Cole, like, get out there and play your best. And, you know, if it hurts and you're not really feeling it, we'll pull you. But we need to start you and see if we can't get anything out of it. Mihailovic is a tougher call, but we'll see.
Mark, I'd say you botched that analogy. If anything, it's Georgi Mihailovic that's the, because it was Kirk Gibson's ankle, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
it was both hamstrings. He both tore hamstrings. Both, okay. Or no, maybe it was both his quads, but he was both of them basically. It was like both of his legs were bad. He had busted legs.
Okay, well, Freddie Freeman, it's been his ankle. Georgi Mihailovic, it's a sprained ankle as well. So I think that's the analogy.
Shohei
okay.
Ohtani, it's a shoulder. Yeah.
Okay, enough baseball talk here, Mark. Enough baseball talk. So to your point, Rabbi, I think injuries are so key in this one. I mean, Rabbi, I think we can agree if Georgi and Cole aren't in the match day squad, like not even on the bench, like I'm not saying it's 0% chance, because I guess in theory, like Ricky Pooj could, you know, the ref could blow the whistle and Ricky Pooj could have his intrusive thoughts take over and he could just go punch Jafe on the Vajo and get a straight red card and be out. The Rapids could be up a man, you know, for 90 minutes at altitude, and then Pooj could be out for the third leg if that ends up happening. But I don't see how the Rapids provide any real bite offensively without one of those guys in, really. I mean, so to bring it back to maybe another criticism, Mark, from the first leg, it's just how toothless the Rapids were. I mean, you know, Cabral got into some good areas, but then Galaxy had the numbers back because there was nobody real in the box. I thought Omir did an okay job pressing alongside Navajo in terms of those two being linked up. I don't think they did anything. They didn't combine at all in possession at all enough. And the Rapids didn't force enough set piece opportunities, certainly not enough corners. So I'll quote, Mark, a piece that I wrote that I've been thinking about. This is from my recap on Burgundy Wave listeners from Saturday night. This has the potential to be such an interesting matchup tactically. Both teams score a lot and concede a lot. One team's attacking strength plays into the other's defensive weakness. Galaxy like to do jump and transition when the opponent has numbers upfield. The Colorado Rapids like to overwhelm and press the opposing backline, and the opposing backline is susceptible on set pieces as well. Ironic then that the first goal for the Galaxy in the first leg came on a corner. But for that to happen, it requires Colorado's strength to show up. That has not happened without Bassett or Mihailovic. This fixture is predictable and one-sided given the injuries. So I think injuries are critical here, Mark. So to your point, you know, whatever magic has to happen in order to get Cole Bassett over whatever that setback ended up being and to get Georgi Mihailovic available for something come Friday is going to be critical. I think it's incredibly heartbreaking and incredibly unfair, Mark, that Georgi has such an injury and is potentially out for the two, other than the Leafs Cup, I'd argue the semifinal and the third place game, probably the most significant two-game stretch for the season for the club. And so I think it's disappointing and horrible for Georgi that, you know, it's got to be gut-wrenching for him, Mark, that he wasn't able to help on Saturday. And if it turns out to be a multi-goal loss on Friday as well, with him being unavailable, like he and Cole have to feel just absolutely horrible about that particular situation. But so going back to my point, Mark, regardless of the injuries that are available, like the Rapids have to do something to make the Galaxy uncomfortable defensively. And Rafael Navajo on an island with no help, just banging bodies with Yoshida, is not a sustainable strategy. And then just like lumping balls to Kevin Cabral and expecting him to do everything on his own without some contribution from the other wing position isn't helpful, and certainly nothing up the middle and nothing from transition play. But to your point, Mark, I don't know how the Rapids do that comprehensively for 90 minutes without playing into the Galaxy's hands for what they're going to do. So, Mark, as much as you wanted to praise Connor Ronan for what he did defensively, he got completely turned around on one of the plays for the Galaxy that could have turned into a goal in the first half. So I'd almost say it's difficult, Mark, because the Galaxy are such a mismatch to the Rapids' weaknesses, and without the Rapids' most important players, they can't be a mismatch for the Galaxy's weaknesses. And so in order to adjust that, you have to adjust what you've been doing this whole time. Like the Rapids have to go out, then, you know, and that would be a difficult thing for them to do on 1 week's or 2 weeks' notice. They have to go out and be themselves and hope that they can be themselves at a level that's better than the LA Galaxy, given that they're missing their two most important players and the Galaxy are clicking on all cylinders with the killer peas. And so I don't know how the best answer, Mark, is to go out and just do what you've been doing and hope that it clicks differently and you get some bodies back. But knowing full well that you also have to defend against your greatest weakness, which you have not figured out at any point this season against the elite teams. But to go back to your point, Rabbi, about kind of the macro view of what this says as well, I think unfortunately and definitely unfairly, this is going to reflect the narrative that I think everybody has about the Rapids. You know, Mark, what was the quote from The Athletic that Jonathan Lewis gave to who's the one in Minnesota, Mark, from The Athletic, who I can't remember his name right now? Jeff Reuter.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
So Jeff Reuter did a piece going into the Thanksgiving home game in 2021, listeners, and Jonathan Lewis did a really good interview for that. And I believe the quote effectively was like, nobody respects us. Like, everybody thinks that they overachieved in the regular season and they have to do something in the playoffs in order to flip that narrative. And how easy, Mark, would it be, was it for the national media and fans of other teams to see the Rapids finish top of the Western Conference in that season and then go in and lose their one playoff game with the Portland Timbers getting one chance in the 94th minute and scoring to win that game of, okay, yeah, same old Rapids. They'll overperform one out of every 3 or 4 years in the regular season, but they're not a threat in the postseason. And so, Mark, how much would that just enforce that thought that everybody's had about this football club basically since 2010 for them to lose in two games to the LA Galaxy, and not only that, for them to lose by, you know, an aggregate score of, you know, 7-1, 8-0, something like that. You know, it would be like, okay, yeah, the Rapids are who we knew they were all along. And then how many Rapids fans would also see that as well, Mark? Like, how much of this is kind of a legacy game of, this is going to put a really bitter taste to the end of a season that otherwise was, had so many highs, had so many wonderful things, so much amazing progress, so much joy from it, for it to end on a 6-game losing streak and getting absolutely shellacked in the playoffs, where a Rapids fan then looks at it and says, okay, great, we won the Rocky Mountain Cup. We always want that. That's a good thing. Okay, we're going to treat our third place game in our third place finish in the League's Cup and then getting bounced in the second round of Champions Cup of CONCA Champions by a Mexican team. We're going to count that as a trophy along with the 2021 Western Conference best team in the regular season trophy that doesn't actually exist as well. And once we get to the playoffs, we're not actually any closer to winning MLS Cup. Like, there's a lot of narrative stuff that is going to come out, Mark. A blowout win on Friday night, and I think certainly there's nothing we can do about the national media taking that narrative, Mark, but I think it'll be valid for Rapids fans to kind of wonder that. And how do we think about that? Well, we'll save that for the actual season review, Mark, which I increasingly think is probably going to come on Monday or Tuesday night of next week. Mark, I will say, Rabbi, you've heard of the concept of like the postseason, like end of year championship DVD. You know, those things still exist.
Yes.
Okay. So I've seen this talk as well, listeners, when like fan bases are down on their team, that it's like this is the point where we go to like the DVD or whatever, like the Red Sox 2003 World Series Championship DVD, Mark, that had like them coming back from 3-0 against the
nice
against the Yankees, like how much was their build up into that as well. So I mean, you know, listeners, anyone from the club, if the Rapids somehow come back and win this series and then go on to win MLS Cup, you absolutely have my permission and Mark's permission to clip anything from this episode and last week's episode and use it as the buildup for the DVD, like the Rapids going up against the impossible task. Nobody believed that they could actually do it, but once again, they subvert expectations, you know, and do the impossible, because that is what Chris Armas's 2024 Colorado Rapids do. I will be disappointed. I will almost be offended, Rapids digital team, if you do not clip us and dunk on us when this happens, because this is how down we are on the Rapids as well. Mark, we talked about what we think the Rapids need to do and where that's going to be difficult, or where that just plays into the Galaxy strengths and everything. Rabbi, let's say injuries notwithstanding, or what do you think the lineup looks like, Mark? What would you do differently?
Our team or their team?
Let's do Rapids. Give me your Rapids 11.
I mean, I think we'll have Cole Bassett back. We'll play him deep. We'll play... That is a good question. I guess we have no choice but to play Connor Ronan and Ollie LaRaz deep, and then play Cole Bassett at the 10. You really have, I mean, he was the best winger on the team for a while, but he wasn't in the last game with Cabral on the wing. And then on the other side, I would throw in Calvin Harris instead of Johnny Lewis, just because it gives you a slightly different look. It's not a huge difference, but I don't think there was anything wrong with the way Johnny Lewis played in this game. I just don't think he was going to be involved all that much, because we didn't have the ball enough to get him involved. So defensively, I would not mind seeing Sebastian Anderson on the left and Keegan Rosenberry on the right again. I don't have anything against Sam Vines, and I don't have anything, but I'm not so sure about Reggie Cannon, to be honest. I know Reggie Cannon came in with a lot of hype, and I think a lot of people are saying, you know, he's played for the USMNT, he's just coming off of Europe, but like, I personally just am not sure he's either integrated into the team quite right, or that he knows what the team is expecting. And I want to see Keegan Rosenberry back in his regular spot at right wing instead of left wing. And I think Sebastian Anderson has effectively over the year proven that he's probably our best left wing on the team. What are your thoughts?
You
left
said left
back, left back, thank left
you.
Back.
Okay. Thank you. I was getting Keegan Rosenberry at right wing would not work for Mark. I'm going to disagree with you, Rabbi. I think we'll agree, same center back, same goalkeeper, unless something happens injury-wise with them. I would do Reggie on the left, and I would do Keegan on the right. I think for Keegan to be remotely what he needs to be defensively right now, he needs to be in his natural position. So I agree with you there, Rabbi. I will go Reggie Cannon at the left back position, because I want to pair him up with Kevin Cabral. I think you have to take some kind of risk in this game, Mark, or at least count on, you have to put the lineup out that if it goes right, you need to capitalize on it. Because at this point, like, you have going with somewhat conservative, or with one that would be safe but is a little bit too safe, you're just again playing into the hands where the Galaxy get the first goal, and at that point, Mark, it's not over, but like, as soon as it's 2-0 to the LA Galaxy, I think it's over. And I don't see I don't see the Rapids doing any better than lucking into penalties if the Galaxy get the first goal in this game. So you have to get the first goal in this game. So I'm going all offense on the left side of the field. And so Reggie Cannon paired up with Kevin Cabral at the left position. I will agree with you, Mark. It has to be Calvin Harris at the right at this point. Jonathan Lewis isn't providing anything. You're not throwing KSB into starting for a playoff game as well. Jonathan Lewis isn't giving me anything offensively that's needed right now. Where I'm torn a little bit, Mark, I'm wondering what's the better net positive of playing Cole Bassett in the position where he has to run a lot coming off of an injury, and that being a net positive in his best position, and then thinking once Cole gets forward in the attack, hopefully paired up with Kevin Cabral, then Omir Fernandez becomes a nice fourth attacking piece in terms of being in the number 10 role. Or do I want Cole at the 10 and keep the same somewhat porous double pivot we have between Ollie LaRoz and Connor Ronan? That's where I'm stuck on right now. But, you know, Mark, we'll see what happens injury-wise with the injury report, obviously. But, I mean, if it, you know, it started off as a precautionary injury, and then it was, oh, you know, Cole's been pain-free for a week. We decided to rest him for decision day, and then he got a setback as well. Like, I'm wondering, I've seen enough training, Mark, to where there'd have to be a pretty elaborate ruse going on here if all of this was to the Rapids to publicly make it seem like Cole Bassett was actually going to be available when actually he's been hurt and out for the season this whole time. But I mean, like, you don't have a tomorrow. You have to win this game on Friday, Mark. So if there was a game to risk him, unless Cole physically can't go, or is at risk of turning a couple week injury into like a needing surgery and not going to be ready for preseason standpoint, like, you have to risk him in order to win this game. I'd almost say the same thing about Georgie, to be honest. So I think if Cole's in, I'm going to go that he's in the double pivot, Mark, and it's Omir Fernandez in the 10. I think if Georgie's available, I think he's in his usual role, and Omir Fernandez is on the bench regardless of Cole Bassett's availability. We'll see what happens when the availability report comes out on Thursday. Mark, let's do prediction, shall we?
Oh, we're gonna lose. We're gonna lose like 3-0. It's gonna be awful. I feel bad for you having to be there in person, but you know, you get to be there. The others, I also envy you because you get to be at DSGP in person. I didn't get to see any Rapids games at DSGP this season. I got to see the team elsewhere. So that was great. But it'll be interesting to see how the team greets its fans at the end of the season, running around, shaking hands, you know, giving homage, hopefully. Back in my day, I haven't lived in Colorado in 6 years. Back in my day, when they lost in the playoffs, they ran to the tunnel and disappeared. And that was how it was. And that has apparently started to change under Chris Armas. We'll see what happens. I know that I'm predicting doom early, but I just want all that out on the table. Matt, your thoughts?
I'll put a condition on this one, Mark. I will say if the Rapids do not get 110 minutes combined between Cole Bassett and Georgie Mihailovic, either one or both of them coming off the bench or one or both of them starting, whether or not they finish 90 minutes, if the two of them combine play over 110 minutes, I will give the Rapids a puncher's chance. I will give them a 25% chance, Mark, of getting results. So either forcing penalties, and then we'll leave penalties for the moment, or winning outright 90 minutes. If they combine play under 110 minutes, there's no way the Rapids are winning this. And if Mark, if the roster or the lineup comes out, you know, what, 6:30 p.m. on Friday comes out, and neither of them are in the team sheet as well, like, we're looking at a blowout loss, Mark. We are looking at this game could turn into a funeral. I hope it doesn't turn that way. I think Chris Armas has done a really good job of motivating the players. Players, coaches, staff, even like people in the ticket sales have all told me about how excited they were to get back and get that home playoff game. And that was something they were really looking forward to. And they love playing in front of their fans. So if nothing else, Mark, I felt like, Rabbi, would we agree the team capitulated after goal number 4? Like, they quit on that in the first leg? Yes?
I guess, I don't know. I it's hard for me to say. They took on the look of a team that had capitulated. How about that?
Okay.
They appeared as if a team that might have capitulated.
Yeah. I would say just you know, if I have a message for the players, I know at least a couple of them who passively listen to the podcast, Mark. I'm unaware of.
Accidentally.
We're unaware.
They passed it on the radio while dialing to someplace else.
Unaware of them being any paid Highliners, unaware of them actually subscribing on their podcatcher of choice. But in any case, Mark, if I were to deliver a message to the Colorado Rapids, you know, I would say, just go down swinging. Like I don't care if you're down 4-5-0 in the fourth minute of stoppage time. Like, I don't want to see anybody jogging. Like, show some fight and everything. You know, and don't have this turn into turn into a wake of a game. I want to see some kind of energy, some kind of fight. Hopefully the crowd's able to bring something. Hopefully the Galaxy don't do something early on in the game in order to take the crowd out of it, but just, you know, make it competitive, or, you know, go down swinging with the tenacity and enthusiasm that you have had this entire season. And if you do that, then you'll be doing right by your coach. You'll be doing right by the season. You'll be doing right by yourselves, right by the fan base. You will be giving the better that the fans, the players, the badge has deserved going back to last year. And regardless of the final score or the actual performance associated with it, if the effort's there, Mark, then in 1 week's time when we're podcasting, then at the very least, I will open up. I will say the good thing was the Colorado Rapids did not quit in their final game of the 2024 season. Mark, let's talk briefly about player salaries. This kind of got buried in the news that we had from this past couple of weeks. But so we got updated MLS player salaries. Mark, the big things that we have there was we officially saw the players who are no longer rostered for the Rapids. They are now off of that rostered list. So there was some dead cap money, I think, associated with the way the club parted ways with Danny Wilson, Sam Nicholson, and Sidney Tavares. So they were listed on the spring iteration of that. They have been removed from that list as well. And the one big acquisition, Mark, from this past summer window would have been Reggie Cannon, who we found out is making $750,000 for the Colorado Rapids and has a guaranteed compensation of $841,500. I should say, listeners, that is prorated. So that's for the half the season, half the year that he's with as well. So Mark, good to see that the Rapids have some dead cap money coming off that in theory gives them some flexibility, roster money, cap gam wise going into 2025. And we now know what that number is for Reggie Cannon. For comparison here, Mark, Lal Sabubakar is on $702,000. Omer Fernandez is on $600 and change. Reggie Cannon making just under Sam Vines and Cole Bassett, who are at $850,000 and $862.5 respectively as well. So Reggie Cannon's kind of in the on the lower end, but very, very close, Mark, to the general money that the probable starters coming back from Europe with some USMNT potential as well are making as well. Mark, what do we make of Reggie Cannon's salary? What do we think about this going into the Rapids and their offseason moves and potential departures or money flexibility?
It felt a little high, but not unreasonably. What was it? 841, I think. Was that the number?
And $500 as well.
841 and five. Matt's always Matt knows that we have like three listeners who will be like, you forgot to say the $4.37, you know, like, yeah. You know, it's a reasonable amount. It's not a lot. I just don't know that it's I don't know that we're going to get our money's worth, but that's a reasonable risk when you're paying TAM money. And so I was kind of okay with it. I'm just really not thrilled with anything that's happened at fullback this season for us. It just hasn't been great for anyone. You know, basically the only player at the beginning of the season that I was sure was going to hit and it was going to be great, and I was so excited about was Sam Vines, and he's probably been the least effective of all of our fullbacks, sadly. I think Sam's going to have a rebound year. He's too good a player to bottle it. You know, we used to talk about Diego Rubio and being like, is this guy ever going to get it together? And then he had a season where he was absolutely fantastic. And then the next season he was just as good, although he missed a little bit of time for injury. You know, players will have bumpy seasons, and you have to kind of stick with them through it. I think Darren Yappe's a good example of that. We were rough on him for a year, and he started to come good this year, and I think we're starting to see him turn a corner. But Reggie Cannon is older. He's a known quantity, so it's a little bit harder to say. So let's not review the entire roster now and think about moves. But for Reggie Cannon, a little high priced. Not sure how many years I'd be happy eating a salary like this, but it's not out of line.
The Rapids still have a bunch of young, inexpensive, and mostly not usable in the playoffs depth as well, Mark.
The buried lead that you had, it wasn't a buried lead, you were fine, is to note that the Rapids are the third lowest salary overall in Major League Soccer, which is not
Philadelphia
bad.
And Montreal.
Who are lower?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing because there are a whole bunch of teams that aren't in the playoffs who spend a lot more than us. Nashville, kind of more famously, like mid-tier, but awfully terrible this year. A really you know, obvious one is, you know, San Jose, who spends about as much money as the Rapids and gets nothing to show for it whatsoever. So these are important kind of things to note, that like the Rapids are cheap, but they've always been cheap. They're a money ball team. And if they're not going to do that, that's just how it is.
The Rapids have a bunch of young players that we're really excited about for their future, Mark. But when they make up 2/3 of your bench in a playoff game that you're down 3-0, counting on Kamani Stewart-Baines, Wayne Frederick, and Jasper Lofelson to really change the game and get you back into it certainly did not help that regard. So hopefully it's the starters, maybe Kevin Cabral and Georgie off the bench, who get it done on Friday, Mark. And you and I are eating our words on Election Day, and the club's clipping it and using it for the DVD when the Rapids finally win the 2024 MLS Cup. All right, Rabbi, should we land this plane?
Yeah, because we still have a couple more innings to watch, or at least as many as I can before I fall asleep.
Listeners, you can follow us collectively on Twitter at @soccer_rabbi. @LWSMattPollard and @Rapids96podcast. Email us at Rapids96podcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions using the hashtag AskHTHL. We are also on Facebook. We'll start becoming active on Blue Sky and some other stuff. Mark, we should have a talk about social media because I'm not almost done with Twitter, but I'm almost done with Twitter. In any case,
I'm playing with Threads. Threads is nice. There's a little bit of engagement there, so that might be our next move.
Rate, review, share, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and tell your favorite Rapids ticket rep about us so that they can listen to us and get hyped for this playoff game as well. Enjoy the game, listeners. I will be showing up to the tailgate. I'll be getting there right after work as well, so hopefully be hanging out from you. Hopefully everybody's in good spirits, and if nothing else, like don't give up on the team. Show them the respect that they've given to the fan base this entire season long. So stay through to the 90 minutes, if nothing else, and, you know, try and will them on. Mark, we should say this, given where the Rapids are seeding wise, even if they somehow come back and win on Friday and then win the third leg as well, Mark, unless there's a really, really extraneous circumstance, this will be the final game for the Rapids probably. There's a couple seeds lower than them, I think, who are still in it, who, if they match up in an MLS Cup final, they'd potentially be hosting. And I think it's just Vancouver, Mark, who are probably going to get shellacked by LAFC. So this is probably the last game at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Let's try to enjoy it. Let's try to have some fun regardless. And hopefully it doesn't turn into a wake for the people in the stands and the players on the pitch. Listeners, we'll see you next week, no matter what.
Peace.
Rapids fans, we want to tell you about Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first performance mental shot. Mark and I have been taking them before podcast recording sessions. It's really helped us calm down, kept us focused, and really helped me with my brain fog. Hopefully, we seem a little bit more on topic in recent episodes because of it. Magic Mind has a bunch of really good vitamins. Magic Mind has a bunch of vitamins and superfoods in which... Magic Mind has a bunch of vitamins and superfoods in it, which can help you with your mood and stress. It's like a little 2-ounce greens powder shot of goodness that helps you with deep focus or turning your workday around. As someone who's very caffeine sensitive, I don't get any jitters or anything like that. They've spent 10 years working on their formula and doing a bunch of research. I've been taking one daily for a few weeks now, and I can tell the difference and the quality. Give Magic Mind a try by visiting the link in the show notes. Use the
Use the unique discount code HIGHLINER20, all caps. That's HIGHLINER20, but at checkout. Use the unique discount code HIGHLINER20. That's HIGHLINER, all caps, then the numbers 20. Use the unique discount code HIGHLINER20. That's HIGHLINER, all caps, then the numbers 20 at checkout for 20% off your first order or 48% off a first-time subscription order. Thank you to Magic Mind for sponsoring this episode and keeping us on topic.